This program is brought to you by Israel Restoration Ministries.
What are you doing Sunday nights? Come join Friendship with God radio Bible teacher Tom Cantor of the Friendship with God Fellowship Church every Sunday night at 5:30 p.m. at The Vine at 9336 Abraham Way, Santee, California. Watch and listen live around the world to Tom Cantor Sunday evening on YouTube.com by searching for Friendship with God Fellowship or by going to our homepage at friendshipwithgod.org. That's friendshipwithgod.org.
Welcome to Friendship with God with our Bible teacher, Tom Cantor. Today's message and previous messages can be listened to or downloaded for free at friendshipwithgod.org.
Let's pray. Father, do open our hearts now, open our eyes as we look into your word. This is your Bible, Lord. This is your Spirit of God to teach us and open us, Lord. And we are your sheep. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture. And so, Lord, give your people tonight light from your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn, if you would, please, to Ezra chapter 9, our second to last chapter. Now in the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 9. And so Ezra chapter 9 goes like this. Now, when these things were done, the princes came to me, that'd be Ezra, saying, the people of Israel and the priests, the Levites, have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they've taken of their daughters to themselves for their sons, so that the holy seed hath mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers have been chief in this trespass. When I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness. That's the title of the message this morning, from my heaviness. I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees, spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, have been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now, for a little space, grace hath been shown him from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in this holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God and to repair the desolations thereof and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by the servants, the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end unto another with their uncleanness. Now therefore, give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve and hast given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldst thou not be angry with us till thou hadst consumed us so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous. We remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. So far, the book of Ezra has been wonderful. It's just been wonderful. We've been going through the book of Ezra, and everything has been wonderful. Chapter 1, it was Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, Ezra 1, 1. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation. What a proclamation that was in Ezra 1, 2. Ezra 1, 2. Build the house of the God, the Lord God of Israel. That was wonderful. Chapter 2, wonderful. Return of the Jews, Ezra 2, verse 1. Ezra 2, verse 1. Now, these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity. The Jews actually left their slavery and their bondage to return to Jerusalem to build the temple. Chapter 2 was wonderful. Chapter 3 was wonderful. It was the rebuilding of the altar. It was the building of the foundation of the temple. Ezra 3, 3, as they set the altar on his basis. Ezra 3:11, the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Sacrifices started again. It's been so long, 70 years, not a blood drop. Not a blood was shed from the sacrifices, but now the sacrifices, the expression of their giving themselves to God, the expression of the atonement started up again. Wonderful. The rebuilding of the temple started. Wonderful, chapter 3. Chapter 4 was wonderful. It was a little rough, but it was an opportunity to see God overcome the opposition of the enemies who caused the temple to temporarily stop. Ezra 4:24, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased under the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Chapter 4 was a wonderful opportunity. Chapter 5, over the top. Wonderful, a wonderful entrance of the prophets. Enter the prophets and tell the people, start to work again. Decree found or not decree, start working again to rebuild the temple. And then a wonderful letter was written in chapter 5 as well to King Darius. Never mind, it was written by the enemies. It was a wonderful letter. And the letter said, go look and see if there really is such a decree of Cyrus that the Jews say there is, giving them authorization to rebuild the temple. Chapter 5, verse 2, Ezra 5, verse 2, began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. Chapter 5, verse 7, Ezra 5, 7, they sent the letter. And chapter 6, oh, that was fantastic. That was wonderful. That was the wonderful discovery of the lost decree of Cyrus to rebuild the temple. A wonderful discovery, 285 miles away from where it should have been, in the house of the rolls back in Babylon in another city. But never mind. They found it. They found it. It was lost. Why it was lost? There was an insurance policy. Who knows? But anyway, it was found, and that was wonderful. And then King Darius stood up, and he made a wonderful new decree. And he said, give money, give gold, give silver, everybody, me, my counselors, my people, and you Jews who stay behind in Babylon, give, open up your wallets. Wonderful. Ezra chapter 6, verse 8, Ezra chapter 6, 8, moreover, I made a decree. Ezra chapter 6, verse 14, 6:14. They builded and finished it. Ezra 6:16. They kept the dedication of this house of God with joy. Chapter 6, verse 22, 6:22. They kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. Wow, a completed and dedicated new temple of God, shiny as ever, and a Passover after 70 years. A Passover kept. What a wonderful time that was in chapter 6. And then chapter 8, that was wonderful as well, because finally now Ezra himself, you know, he didn't go in the first wave. It was about more than 70 years later before Ezra went. And Ezra went to Israel. He took a new group of Jews from Babylon to Jerusalem. He led the people. He led them not only physically, he led them to pray. He led them to fast. And he asked the people to please, please, please pray for protection for us. We got a lot of loot. We got a lot of wealth with us. This is a road which is notorious for murderers and robbers. Ezra chapter 8, 21. Ezra chapter 8, 21. Then I proclaimed a fast. Ezra 8, 23, 8, 23. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Ezra 8, 32, 8, 32. And we came to Jerusalem. They got there. Not one life lost. Not one ounce of gold, silver, or wealth that they had gone. This was chapter 8. Now we come to chapter 9. So far, everything in the book of Ezra has been wonderful. Just wonderful, wonderful workings of God. Wonderful deliverances. Wonderful provisions. Wonderful answers to prayer. Wonderful sacrifices. Wonderful temple. Wonderful Passover. Wonderful joy. Everything wonderful, wonderful. It's all wonderful. And now we come to chapter 9, and the joy stops, and the wonderful comes to an end, and all the wonderful crashes for Ezra. And it all happens on one day when he's got some visitors. He's got a group of princes of the people. And they come to Ezra with a report. Ezra chapter 9, verse 1. Chapter 9, verse 1. When these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. And for Ezra, it was the most disturbing news that he could have received. The people of Israel, the princes of Israel, the Levites of Israel, all of them have stopped separating themselves from the ungodly peoples of the lands. The lives of the people of the land is one word, filthy, unclean. Ezra chapter 6, 21, chapter 6, verse 21, the filthiness of the heathen of the land. Filthy, unclean. We're not told the details of what these people did, described simply as a filthy, unclean lifestyle. We don't need to know. We don't need to make our minds dirty by talking about it. As the Bible says in Ephesians 5:12, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. The land was filthy. The land was unclean. For sure, sexual sins. Sexual sins. And the report that Ezra got was that the people of the land and the leadership of Israel were one. They were echad. They were engaged in filthy activities, which for sure included idolatry. Idolatry. And when Ezra heard this, he was in shock, absolute shock. And he asked, how is this possible that the people who have been punished with so much death, sword, 70 years
of slavery because of these very sins. How could it be possible that when they're freed, they go back to the vomit that they left behind? And Ezra is told how it was possible in verse 2. In verse 2, they have taken of their daughters for themselves, for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the land of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. How is it possible? Marriage. Marriage. Israel had plunged into the filthy lives of idolatry and sexual immorality because of marriages. They took for wives the women of that land, women who only knew filthy lifestyles and idolatry. And now, families with Israeli men were corrupted into a cesspool of sexual sins. Israel gave their daughters, their beautiful daughters, to the men of the land who only knew filthy lifestyles and idolatry. And now families with Israeli daughters were corrupted into a cesspool of sexual sins. And when Ezra heard that the Israeli men had taken the godless women, he thought to himself, again? Again this happens? Why? Why again? Old play, old book, king of Moab hired Balaam, and he said to Balaam, destroy Israel with a curse. And he promised to give Balaam a room full of gold if you just do it. I'll give you a room full of gold. I'll fill this room with gold if you curse, if you get God to curse Israel. Get God to destroy Israel. And Balaam did his best to destroy Israel with a curse. But every time Balaam tried to destroy Israel and get God to curse, Balaam ended up blessing Israel. And the blessing came right out of his own mouth in Numbers 24:3. He took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as trees of lime aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with the arrows. He couched as he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee, he says about the Jewish people. And it was so bad for the king of Moab that he told Balaam in Numbers 24:10, Balak the king's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together, and Balak the king said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemy, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. And Balaam said unto the king Balak, spake I not also to thy messengers, which thou sentest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to either good or bad of mine own mind, but what the Lord saith, that will I speak. King Balak was powerless to destroy Israel by getting God to curse Israel. King Balak could not pay enough money to the prophet Balaam to get Balaam, who was a wicked prophet, but he could not get him to curse Israel. And then King Balak came up with a way. Ah, it was a surefire way for him to get God to destroy Israel. That's the goal. get God to destroy Israel. Somebody in his group, maybe him, I don't know, he's got a brainstorm. Maybe it was the king of Moab, I don't know, or Balak or some other Moabite, but the brainstorm was, don't you know? We've been going about this all wrong and trying to get Israel destroyed by God. We've been trying to get God to curse Israel, and God has no reason to destroy Israel. What we got to do is get God a reason to want to destroy Israel. Get God to want to destroy Israel. Now, God hates sin. Oh, very simple, boys. All we got to do is get Israel to sin, and then God will destroy Israel. Simple. And someone says, yeah? So how do we get Israel to sin? And the answer comes back, sex, sex, sexual sins. We've got the ultimate secret weapon. We got a Trojan horse here that can get inside of the Jewish men and get them to sin, and then God will destroy them because of sin. That's simple. Our secret weapon is, ta-da, our drop-dead gorgeous Moabite women. All we got to do is send our gorgeous Moabite women to the Jewish men, and it'll be more effective than a COVID virus to destroy them. And they turned loose those drop-dead gorgeous Moabite women, and they worked like heat-seeking missiles. They went right for the warm hearts of those Israeli men. And the next thing we read in the Bible was the Israeli men took the bait. Numbers 25:1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Moab let loose a brigade of Moabite Lolitas, and they called out those Israeli men with the words like Proverbs 9:17, stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Proverbs 7:18, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. And as fast as bees go to honey, those Israeli men fled to those tents of sin. The Israeli men went like sheep to the slaughter. Proverbs 9:18. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. And down those Israeli men fell one by one, and their hearts became joined together with those Moabite women. And the hearts of those Israeli men became one with the hearts of those Moabite women, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:16. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. And once those Israeli men became one physically with those Moabite women, the hook was set, and it was time for those women just to reel in their catch. Bring them in, Numbers 25:1-2. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. It's interesting in that verse in Numbers 25:2, that it says, they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. It was those daughters of Moab that the Israeli men had committed fornication with who were calling them. First, the Moabite women called the Israeli men to their tents for a little, hey guys, what happens in Moab stays in Moab. And then once those women had set the hook into the heart of those men said, I just want to be with you. I want to be one with you. And then those women just reeled them in like a fish on a hook. Numbers 25:2, they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And we can hear the Israeli men say to the women, I never seen anyone so beautiful as you. I've never known anyone so exotic as you. I want to be with you all the time. I want to know everything about you. Don't leave me. I want to be with you all the time. I want to do what you do. And then we can hear the women say to them, you want to be one with me? Then know everything about me. Know my gods. You want to love me? Love my gods. You want to be with me all the time? Then come with me when I go to sacrifice to my gods.
Tom Cantor's messages can be listened to and downloaded for free at friendshipwithgod.org. For other free resources, email us at tomcantor@friendshipwithgod.org or call us at 800-247-3051. Join our live services on YouTube by searching Friendship with God with Tom Cantor every Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
What are you doing Sunday nights? Come join Friendship with God radio Bible teacher Tom Cantor of the Friendship with God Fellowship Church every Sunday night at 5:30 p.m. at The Vine at 9336 Abraham Way, Santee, California. Watch and listen live around the world to Tom Cantor Sunday evening on YouTube.com by searching for Friendship with God Fellowship or by going to our homepage at friendshipwithgod.org. That's friendshipwithgod.org.
This program is brought to you by Israel Restoration Ministries.